Sermon Index Classics, featuring the vintage audio sermons from the past century. Welcome again to Sermon Index and today's program featuring some of the best sermons preached in the last century. This program is provided by the ministry of Sermon Index. For more messages, log on to our website, www.sermonindex.com. Now, here's today's program.
Pastor, please pray for my voice tonight. air conditioning hit me last night. Evidently, while I was sleeping, and I believe the Lord's going to touch me and get stronger as we go here tonight. I believe He's going to do it because the Lord's given me a word and I want to deliver my soul. We've enjoyed preaching here, meeting the leadership at the Church of God headquarters here, and I've been ministering with Church of God friends for years, from Cleveland, Tennessee, Lee College. We go way back a long, long time together. Assemblies of God, Church of God, doesn't seem to matter to me much, because I just, everywhere I feel the presence of the Lord, I feel at home, and I sense His presence here tonight. Friends, I want to bring a prophetic message tonight. The wall is down. The wall is down. I want you to go to Ezekiel 13. Do you have your Bibles, please? Your Bibles? Ezekiel 13. I heard somebody back there say, "Yes, sir." Got my Bible tonight. I see a lot of Bibles tonight. God bless you. I know the Church of God people and the Assemblies of God love the Word. I know you do. I guess sometimes we're just not used to bringing them to camp meeting, but boy, I know you're told to bring them here to regular camp meeting. And when's your regular camp start? Second week of June. This is one of the great camps in the country. Doesn't matter whether you're Church of God, Assembly of God, get the news and get in on that. Ezekiel 13. I'm going to take you through the Word tonight. Said I'm going to take you to the Word. You tremble at the Word? You do say amen. All right, I'm going to pray, but first let me read. Go to Ezekiel 13. Go to verse 9. We'll begin reading there. Verse 9, Ezekiel 13. I'm reading from New American Standard. Folks, when I study and prepare, I go to the original Bible, the Sproul Hebrew, or rather Hebrew, or the King James. I read this because it makes it simpler. It brings it out just a little clearer. And I like this Bible, New American Standard, because the liberals hate it. And anything liberals hate, I like. They've cursed this Bible. If they're going to curse it, I'm going to read it. All right, verse 9. So my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel. Nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I am the Lord God. It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying peace, when there is no peace. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. So tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you all hailstones will fall, and a violent wind will break out. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, where is the plaster with which you plastered it? Pastor, that's the first question God's going to ask us when we get to the judgment. How'd you plaster the wall? What kind of plaster did you use? Did you whitewash it? Or did you real materials? Did you whitewash your wall? Did it fall when the storm came? Did your people have a real wall? The wall has fallen. Will not be asked, where is the plaster with which you plastered? Look at verse 14. So I shall tear down the wall, which you plastered over with whitewash, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation is laid bare, and when it falls, you will be consumed in its midst, and you will know that I am the Lord. Look at verse 15. Thus I shall spend my wrath on the wall, and on those who have plastered it with whitewash. And I'll say to you, the wall is gone, and its plasters are gone. I will spend my wrath on your wall, and I will say the wall is down, the wall is gone. Folks, the walls are down. The walls are down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking prophetically to your people in these last days. Bring forth a loud, clear sound. Bring forth a pure word. Show us, Lord, what happens when the walls go down. Show us what's happening as the walls come down around America. The judgment that's begun in America. Babylon is falling, it's falling, it's falling. Babylon is falling. The walls are down. But Lord, you're going to build a wall around your people. You're going to put a wall around your people in this last day. Touch me, Lord Jesus. Give me fire from heaven. Touch my voice. Make it strong as I preach. Make my voice strong as I preach. Holy Ghost, come on me now. Get the glory out of this meeting. Get all the glory you need out of this meeting tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, the devil himself acknowledges that God has built a protective wall around his people. Do you remember when Satan came to God and talked about Job? And he's trying to tear Job down. He can't get to him. And the devil complained to God, "Have you not built a wall or a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." Now, the three words in the Old Testament that are interchangeable, they're synonymous. They come from the same Hebrew word, ganon. It's hedge, shield, and wall. And any time you see these three words, hedge, shield, or wall, they're the same thing. They mean wall, a covering, a canopy, a protection. All from the same Hebrew word, ganon. This is speaking, first of all, of Jesus Christ as the wall, the covering of his people. But shield and wall are covenant words. These are covenant words given to Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, "Abraham, do not fear, because I'm going to be a shield to you. I'm going to be your wall. If you walk faithful with me, as long as you live, there'll be a wall around you. Nobody can extract anything from you. You're protected. As sure as there's a wall around God, there's a wall around you. You walk blameless before me and faithful, and I'll be faithful to you and put a wall around you." He says, "I'm your wall. I'm your hedge. I'm your shield." Just before Moses died, he stood before the children of God, and he gave these powerful words. He said, "Blessed are you, O Israel. Who's like unto you? You're a people saved by the Lord. He, the Lord, is your shield, your wall of help, the sword of your majesty. So your enemies shall cringe before you. You shall tread down their high places." Get the picture? Moses said, "I'm about to move. I'm about to leave. But I want you to know you're a blessed people because you walk in covenant with God, the same Abrahamic covenant. God is your wall. He's your shield. Your enemies will cringe before you. Your enemies will cringe." David didn't fear anybody. He didn't fear the devil. He didn't fear any demon. He feared no living soul on earth. He said, "I laid down and I slept. And I awoke because the Lord sustained me." Why could David sleep like a baby? He said, "Because, O Lord, you have become my wall around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I go to sleep at night because I know I have a wall around me." That's a covenant right for every believer. Behind that shield, behind that wall, we're safe from every demonic attack. Nothing on earth, nothing out of the pits of hell can touch you, because you can say with David, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who set themselves against me round about." You've smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You've shattered the teeth of the wicked. And this is the picture David saw. He saw demon powers. He saw them coming out of the pits of hell toward him. And he said, they hit the wall and they shattered their teeth and their cheeks. He said, they hit the wall and they shattered their teeth. He said, I've got a wall around me. Now, I'm not afraid of 10,000s of people. I'm not afraid of any power that's arrayed against me, because you've smitten my enemies on the cheek. You shattered the teeth of the wicked. They hit the wall and smashed their teeth. Glory to God. The demon hordes came against them and had to flee. Now, I want you to know that this wall is a covenant right for every Christian. All who walk blameless before the Lord. Listen to what God said to Abraham. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish a covenant or an agreement between you and me. And what are you saying, Abraham? If you walk in holiness, if you walk in purity, you don't ever have to be afraid, because I'm a covenant wall, a covenant shield. David said, I've kept the ways of the Lord. I've not acted wickedly against God. His laws are before my eyes, and His statutes, I will not depart from them. I am also blameless toward my Lord. I keep myself from my iniquity. I keep myself. Then David said, with the blameless, you will show yourself to be blameless. All right, now listen to me very close. And I want you to go with me to 2 Samuel. Turn left, please. Left. If you were in Ezekiel, go to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. You still love the Word? 22. Begin verse 36. 2 Samuel. Begin with verse 36. I love to hear the rustling of the leaves. Beautiful music. Did you find it? All right, here we go. Verse 36. Thou hast also given me the shield or the wall of thy salvation. Thy help makes me great. Thou didst enlarge my steps unto me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and I destroyed them. Is that in your Bible? I chased or I pursued the enemy. Look at me, folks. This business is just building a fortress and saying, I'm just going to stand here defensively. No. David said, I got this wall around me and I move. That wall moves with me, and I move with this wall against my enemy. I pursue the devil. I chase him. I put him to flight. I don't wait for him to come and attack my family. I've got a covenant right and I pursue my enemy. And I did not turn back until they were consumed. Listen to this man. Folks, when I hear about defeated Christians with divorce, and I hear about Christian couples that can't live together, and I hear about children being jailed and on drugs and alcohol, I say, my God, where is this spiritual dominion? Where's this covenant right that God's given us as a shield and a wall? Listen to the way a man of God talks when he knows he's living a blameless life before God. There's no sin in the camp. He said, verse 38, I pursued my enemies. I destroyed them. I did not turn my back. I did not turn my back. Christian, God never intended you to live weak. He never intended us to run when the devil comes against us. God said, you don't dare turn your back. And I have devoured them and I shattered them, so they did rise and they fell under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued unto me those who rose up against me. Thou hast also made my enemies to turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. Look at verse 43. Then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth, and I crushed and I stamped them as the mire of the street. Now, does that sound like a defeated Christian? The enemy came against me, and I turned around and I chased him, and I pulverized him, and I tramped him into the dirt. That is God's dominion power over all the force of the hell for godly, holy people walking in covenant with God. That's a covenant right. You don't have to go to bed every night and say, oh, Lord, I plead the blood. You don't have to, every time you get in the car, say, Lord, I plead the blood. When you live a holy, righteous life, every move you make is under the covenant of God. You are protected everywhere you move. David said he's a wall around those who walk in integrity. David said, for the Lord God's a sun and a wall, a shield. No good thing withhold from those who walk uprightly. He is a shield. He is a wall to those who take refuge in Him. But let me tell you, listen close. There is no wall around Christians who live in sin. The wall is taken down when you persist in sin. There is no wall around carnal Christians. There, first place, there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. Bob has a whole series on that. I don't believe in carnal Christianity. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're walking in righteousness or you're walking for the devil. I don't care who you call yourself. Listen to what David said. But to the wicked, God says, what right do you have to talk of my covenant, my statutes, and take my covenant in your mouth? For you've been hating discipline. You've cast my words behind you. You don't obey me anymore. You associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil. You gossip and your tongue frames deceit. He said, if you're going around and gossip, if you're going to live in adultery, you're going to live in sin, you've got no right to this covenant. You have no right to it. You forfeited your covenant right because of sin. I want you to go to Psalms. Go left from Ezekiel. Psalms. I want you to turn to Psalms 80. Psalms 80. I want to show you what happens when a Christian allows sin to come into his life. Psalms 80. All right, look at verse 5. Thou hast fed them with the bread of tears. Thou hast made them to drink tears in large measure. Thou dost make us an object of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Look at me, saints. I believe there are some churches and some people that the devil must stand outside the door and actually laugh. Said there's no dominion in that church. Those people are living defeated, ungodly lives. He said our enemies laugh among them. Look at verse 12. Chapter 80, verse 12. Why hast thou broken down its hedges or its walls so that all who pass that way pick its fruit? A boar from the forest eats it away, and whatever moves in the field feeds on it. Folks, who do you think that boar is from the forest that eats it away? Who's the boar? That's the devil himself. Who do you think that these things are that are moving in the field feeding on it? Those are demon powers. Because the wall is down, the wild boar can move in because there's no wall. And it says, whatever moves in the field feeds on it. Get it in your mind, folks. Listen to it, please. Hear the sound of the word. Why hast thou broken down? He's talking about his vineyard. He's talking about his own people. Why have you broken down its hedges, its walls, so that all who pass that way pick its fruit? The fruit's been plundered. It's been picked by the devil. The boar from the forest eats it away. Whatever moves on the field feeds on it. You ask my dear wife up here, Gwen is with me tonight. We talked about a little last night. We read these thousands of letters coming from people around the world requesting prayer. There are nights that I haven't been able to sleep. I've pound a fist in my pillow. Say, oh God, look how Satan is moving freely among so many people. Look at the divorce in the house of God. I don't know what it's like in the church of God, but I know what it's like in the assemblies of God. More and more preachers are getting divorced. We've got them on television, on national television. Evangelists that divorce their wife, and then you'd look and there's another wife sitting there, not even an explanation. Not even an explanation. The wild boar is moving wherever he pleases among some people. Why? Because the sin in the camp and the walls are down. God said, if you allow sin in your life, I'll tear down your wall. You're not walking in covenant with me anymore. Tear down your wall. The boar out of the woods doth waste it. The wild beast of the field doth devour it. Go to Psalms 81, the next chapter. Psalms 81. Are we talking about the world or are we talking about Christians? Listen, verse 11. But my people, whose people? Let me hear you. My people. Is he talking about drug addicts and alcoholics now? Is he talking about prostitutes? Talking about adulterers outside the church? No, he said, but my people did not listen to my voice and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. What did he say? I would quickly subdue their enemies, not turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. And I would feed you with the finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock. I'd satisfy you. Look at me, saints. All he's asking, he said, if my people would only listen, if my people would rid their hearts of sin and their idols and follow me with all their heart, he said, I would subdue every one of your enemies. I'd put them to taste. They would not be able to exact from your family. They would not be able to get against your children. Because when God made covenant with Abraham, he said, this is for you and all your descendants. You walk before me faithfully and you're guaranteed a wall around your children and your grandchildren. And I know that I'm in the ministry today because I had a praying grandfather who walked in covenant with God just like Abraham. And my granddad prayed every one of his children, all his grandchildren into the ministry. We're all preachers. Mom and Dad, when you walk in covenant with God, you're building a heritage. You're establishing a house, an everlasting house for God. When I see young people backslide and I see children going to hell, I know there's a dad or mother, grandfather somewhere that's not walking in covenant with God. God said for your children and your grandchildren, your descendants, I'll build you a sure house. You walk righteously before me and I'll subdue all the enemies in your house. Mom and Dad, don't come to preachers like me who walk in the streets with drug addicts and alcoholics and say, would you pray for my son? He's in trouble. Would you pray for my daughter? She's in trouble. Would you pray for my children? They're backsliding. No, mother. Dad, you start walking blameless before the Lord. You get the idols out of your home and out of your life, and God will bring covenant victory to your home. I want to show you what. Now, I'm going to do something tonight. Now, I came a little late to this meeting because God was dealing with me. He was just pumping courage into me. What I'm going to do right now. Now, I may never get invited back here again, but I'm going to obey God. Now listen to me, please. No clapping. No clapping. This is not a show. This is life and death with me. And I want you to know God had to deal with me because for years, I sat in front of an idol before God and didn't know I was breaking covenant. And all hell broke loose in my family. My wife's been sick for years. And the last disease she had was lupus. And it was something to go in a hospital and look at her swollen with 30, 40 pounds of water. And I hardly knew her because the enemy tried so distort through that disease. It's a terrible disease. They said it's incurable. Every one of my children were sick. I would quote all the scriptures, the angel of the Lord camps around about them that fear him. I quoted all the scriptures of promises, how God would keep his children. Gwen was in the hospital one day, and after visiting her at night, I went to a motel right near the hospital because the hospital was about 100 miles from her home. I'm laying on that bed, and I'm thinking about all the things gone wrong in my ministry, the emptiness, the dryness, All my children sick. My daughter with cancer. My wife with many cancers and then lupus. And the emptiness in me. The financial problems. Everything piling up against me. And I truly loved the Lord. But God showed me that I was not walking in covenant. I had forfeited my covenant rights. Now I want you to know that not all suffering is a result of breaking covenant. There are some who are under the loving discipline of a loving Father. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them out of all their trouble. And you know how He delivers you? He brings you back into holy covenant. He shows you where you've gone wrong. He shows you where there's been sin in your life. And He deals with that. He disciplines you. He doesn't spank you unless you need it. He won't discipline you unless there's a reason. He doesn't discipline obedient children. He disciplines disobedient children. You want to get out from under the hand of discipline? Begin to obey Him. Come back into obedience. And in that hospital room, God led me to a scripture. He maketh all wars to cease. And that's when God began to deal with me about this wall. God said, David, the wall is down because of what's in your own heart. There's lust in you. You're not facing it. You know it. And God began to talk to me about all the idols in my heart. And that's the first time He dealt with me about television. Now, you read The Cross of Swiss, but you know years ago I gave it up. And when I gave it up, I spent hours seeking the face of God. And that's when He sent me to the streets of New York. It gave me a ministry that touched people around the world. But then I brought it back. The thing that grieves me, we have people all over the world, all over the nation right now wondering why the enemy's extracting from them. They wonder why there's so much trouble and war on every side because they love God and they quote things and they bind the devil, they do everything else, and yet they don't understand how the devil's coming and plundering the household. Pastors wonder why the devil's plundering their churches. All right, now I'm going to take you. Go to Ezekiel 14. Follow me close. Now, if you're a Christian, you're going to love reproof. If you don't love me, you don't love God, you don't love reproof. That's pretty strong, but I mean that. The righteous love reproof. Folks, I'm going to reprove you. You hear me? The Holy Ghost is going to reprove. It's all right. Now, I've been reproved, and I'm giving you the reproof God gave me, and I give it to you in love. I'll tell you, I don't have to stand here and tell you I love you. I know I love you. I know there's love in my heart. I love these brothers. I love these leaders. I love them with all my heart. I prayed for them today, for every one of them. Not by name, but as a body. Just hold them up before God. But gentlemen, ladies, it's time we get desperate before God. It's about time we hear His Word. I'm going to make a statement before I go any further in this reproof. I'm telling you now, you can call me a legalist, call me anything you want. But the thing that's breaking covenant in Christian homes now in ministries is this ungodly idol television in our homes. This is breaking almighty covenant with God that's allowed the devil to come in and plunder our children, our homes, and our ministries. Now listen. I'm going to give you the Word. Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then some elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me. The Word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. See, television is a matter of the heart. If it wasn't in your heart, you'd given up long ago. Like I said last night, don't you tell me it's not an idol. Why is all the furniture facing it? That's true. Why do you eat in front of it? These men have set up their idols in their hearts. They have put right before their faces the stumbling block. Right there, right, that 19-inch screen right in front of their face. The stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? Therefore speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face, CBS, the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols, in order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, who are estranged from me through all their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. Turn your back on it. My dear Lord, what's it come to in Pentecost that an evangelist has to come and scream about the idol of television when we used to preach against it? Everybody knew what it was. What's it come to when I can stand and thunder the Word of God through His holy wrath and quote Scripture after Scripture, and you sit there and you justify. Preachers will justify it tonight. You'll justify your idol, Pastor. You'll say, I'm not going to do it because you tell me. I don't believe it's an idol. I believe in balance. It's got a knob. You can turn it off. Well, who's turning it off? Folks, I'm telling you, there's not going to be an anointing. The revival's not coming. The covenant's not going to be set up. We will not have anything but war until we get these idols pulverized. Now, I'm not done. I want you to go to Ezekiel 6. Ezekiel 6. Now, just leave it open there and look this way. How many know what Ezekiel 37 is? Anybody know what Ezekiel 37 is? It's the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel said, and I looked out all the valley full of very dead, very dry bones. Now, I'm going to tell you how they got dead. I'm going to tell you how they got dry. How did that valley of dry bones come to pass? Who killed them? How did they die? I'm going to read to you right now. I'm going to tell you how the dry bones came. I'm going to show you how Pentecostal Christians dry up and wither away. And the word of verse 1, and the word of the Lord came and said, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, mountains of Israel, listen to the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the ravines, and the valleys. Behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I'll destroy your high places. He says, I'm going to tear your wall down. The sword's coming in. The wild boar. So your altars will become desolate, and your incense altars will be smashed. And I shall make your slain fall in front of your idols. I shall also lay the dead bodies of the sons of Israel in front of their idols, and I shall scatter your bones around your altar. How'd they die? Sitting in front of their idols. Is that in your Bible? How'd they die? Sitting in front of their idols. I can give you scriptures to prove they're wooden idols. The wooden idol. I'll give you three scriptures to prove that. I'm still not done. Ezekiel 20. Saints, Church of God saints, Assembly of God saints, Baptist saints, whoever you are, charismatic saints, pastor, evangelist, whoever you may be, if you will not hear this, then there's nothing that you'll ever hear. Go to your idol. Go ahead. But listen to this. Chapter 20, verse 7. Ezekiel. And I said to them, cast away each of you the detestable things of your eyes. Do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and they're not willing to listen to me. They did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Look at verse 16. Because they rejected me, my ordinances, and as for my statutes, they did not walk in them, even profane my Sabbath, for their heart continually went after their idols. Their heart continually went after their idols. Now, dear people, look at me. I have been instructed by the Holy Ghost. I've been instructed by the Holy Ghost to stand before this audience and deliver an ultimatum of love from a holy God. If I've ever heard from God, I heard from Him this afternoon. If the Church of God and the Assemblies of God, pastors and laity, will not remove this and all the rest of the idols out of their homes and out of their churches and out of their lives, it will be Ichabod. God will go and raise up another people. Holy and separated, God will write Ichabod on our doors. He'll take away our anointing and He'll go and find a people that will listen to Him. We'll walk in holiness before God. You can have all the revivals you want, all the camp meetings you want. But God is bringing forth a strong word. It's all over the United States now. God is bringing a strong word from prophets and watchmen. God says it's enough. I'll not let you sit in front of your idols anymore. I'll not let you watch the filth of hell and these detestable things and set these ungodly things before your eyes and come before Me and lift your hands and worship, because there's pollution and the wall is down. Listen. Go to Matthew. I'm going to let the hammer come down and come down. We're going to move away from television right now. Matthew 21. All right. Verse 33. Matthew 21, verse 33. Do you have it? Listen to it. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, and what did he do? What did he do? He put a wall around it. What is the vineyard? What's the vineyard? That's his church. That's his people. These are the saints of God. I planted me a vineyard, and I build a wall around it. Now let me tell you what God's going to do to that wall. Who put the wall there? God put it there. All right, I want you to turn with me now to Isaiah, and I'm going to show you an incredible prophecy. An incredible prophecy. Isaiah, go left. Isaiah. Fifth chapter. I want you to follow me. And I want the Holy Ghost to let this sink deep in your heart. Verse 1. Let me sing now for my well-beloved, the song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it around. He removed its stones. He planted it with the choicest vine, and he built a tower in the middle of it. He hewed it with the wine vat in it. He expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. Look at verse 3. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? All right, look at me. Don't read further. Look this way. I ask you, what more can the Holy Ghost do for the Church of God, the Pentecostal movements of all kinds? He has sent forth the strongest word on the face of the earth. There's been camp meeting after camp meeting you sat through. You've gone to revival meeting after revival meeting. What more can God do? He sent conviction. He sent His Word. He said, what more could I have done to produce fruit in my vineyard? I built a wall around it. What more can I do for this people? Look what He says in verse 5. So let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, its wall. It will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. And I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I shall also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Look at me. I, the Lord. The devil doesn't tear the wall down. He can't touch the wall. I, the Lord your God, We'll tear down your wall. I'll tear it down. I'll come to my vineyard and I see this worthless thing happening. I see this idolatry. And God said, I've done everything I can do. There's nothing left, but I'm going to tear your wall down now. I'm going to say, rain, no more rain. I'm going to let briars and thistles and thorns come up. That explains what's happening in many lives today. You say, why isn't God answering my prayer? Why isn't God causing the wars to cease in my home and my ministry? How clear can God make it? Because you're sitting before your idols. It can be pornography. It can be X-rated. It can be Playboy. It can be lust. It can be any one of these things. It can be simply forgetting God days on end, living for self. He said, I'm the Lord your God and I'm going to tear the wall down. I'm going to tear it down. Go to Psalms 89. Turn to the left. Psalms 89. Verse 38. Do you want to hear some more of the word? Verse 38. Psalms 89. But thou hast cast off and rejected. Thou hast been full of wrath against thine anointed. Is that what your Bible said? He's full of wrath against who? Against who? Brethren, are we anointed? Are we anointed? I'm anointed, and I know you're anointed. Why would God come with wrath against His anointed? Why? Because thou spurned the covenant of thy servant. Or he's talking about God, having spurned the covenant of His servant. Thou hast profaned His crown to the dust. Thou hast broken down all His what? Who's done it? God has done it. Not the devil. God has done it. Thou hast broken down all His walls. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass along the way plunder him. He's become a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast exalted the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou dost also turn back the edge of his sword. Thou hast not made him stand in battle. You see, they can't stand against the enemy because of sin. How many see what God is saying? Raise your hand. You see what God is saying? You walk blameless and get the sin and the idols out, and I'll build a wall around you. You live in your sin, and I'll tear your wall down, and the enemy's going to come and plunder you. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. He's tearing down the wall around the United States of America. He's tearing down the wall. Go to Jeremiah 50. I'm going to show you what's happening to America. Jeremiah 50. Show you something very prophetic here. I know a lot of people don't like what I'm saying about judgment on America, but you don't have to believe it, brother. It's not going to change it. It's coming. America's going to be judged for sinning against the light. Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50. This has to do, I believe, directly with the United States, as well as here. It's a dual prophecy. Verse 14. Jeremiah 50, verse 14. Draw up your battle lines against Babylon on every side. All you who bend the bow, shoot at her. Do not be sparing with your arrows, for she sinned against the Lord. Do you understand that these are arrows of judgment? They're falling now. God's shooting His arrows. Raise your battle cry against her on every side. She's given herself up. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls have been what? Look at me, folks. Do you know that just 20 years ago, as an American citizen, you could walk anywhere on the face of the earth and no terrorist would ever dare touch you because the whole wrath of the United States government come down on them? You were safe anywhere in the world because you were an American citizen. Because even 20 years ago, God had a wall around this country. Now you tell me what it was when Iran kept our hostages. A little tin god in Iran kept this nation hostage almost a year.
What do you think it is when Lebanon blows up 250 of our soldiers? What do you think it is when a plane falls in Iceland and some 200 soldiers die? What do you think it is when our astronauts are destroyed in the sky and blood and fire and vapors of smoke appear, fulfilling the prophecies of the last days? What do you think it is? Folks, it's judgment. The walls are down. This country has no more walls around it. I said this country has no more walls around it. Her walls have been torn down, for this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. If she's done to others, so do to her. Cut off the sword from Babylon, and the one who yields the sickle in the time of harvest. They will each turn back to his own people, and they will flee each one to his own land. Now, I want you to go to Jeremiah 51, the next chapter. Jeremiah 51, I want to show it to you. I want you to see it very clear. Jeremiah 51, verse 58. Verse 58, thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad wall of Babylon will be completely razed. That means brought down. Their high gates will be set on fire, so the people will toil for nothing and the nations will become exhausted only for fire. There it is again. We have become a harlot nation. We have become the Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18. An ungodly system and a harlot church. There's a Holy Ghost church in the land, and there's a harlot church. Which church do you belong to? If you're walking blameless before the Lord, you belong to the bridehood. You belong to the body of Jesus. But if you've got sin in your life, you belong to the harlot church. You belong to the Babylon system. Look at go back, 51 verse 12. 51 verse 12. Lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon. Post a strong guard and station sentries. Place men. On this nation, it's going to fall everywhere you look. It's just the beginning. The terrorists are going to strike soon. Oh, I shudder to think of what's coming because the walls are down. Here it is. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. Verse 58, we begin. Deuteronomy 28, 58. I'll wait till the leaves start rustling. Do you have it? Read with me. Quietly. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord, who will bring it? The Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. And He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which not written in the book of this law, in other words, new diseases, not even named, that are not even written in the book, the Lord will bring on you until you're destroyed. Is that in your Bible? Said, you walk in lawlessness before me. I was in New York City when they had 500,000 homosexuals marching and flaunting their homosexuality. 300,000 marching down the streets of San Francisco. You know that even 2 years ago, if you could come with me to New York, we leave in July to preach in the streets of New York again. We spend a lot of our time in the summers in the streets. And every year, for 28 years, I've preached on Times Square and 42nd Street. And for 28 years, I've been watching what's happening. And even up to 2 years ago, on 42nd Street, when you walked into one of these bookstores, these pornographic bookstores, and I'd take preachers just to break their hearts and show them what it was like. And up to 2 years ago, the homosexual part of the bookstore would be the last third section. There was no sadomasochist stuff like the belts and the chains and the whips and the knives. and all of the terrible torture chains and all the torture pieces of the sadomasochist. You had to ask for them. They were under the counter. But this past year, I was shocked. I took two ministers with me. I said, I want to show you what's happening. And I didn't even know it had gone this far. I walked into two of these places that I'd been going in for 25 years showing preachers. This time, I couldn't believe my eyes. This just happened the last 2 years. Over a half to two-thirds of the bookstore was lesbian and homosexual. And they had whole sections on sex with children and animals. And all the walls, nailed on the walls, belts and chains and sadomasochist stuff all over the walls, out in the open. I had to run out. I ran out on the street and I looked at that living hell. And I said, how does any preacher in America tell me that he can preach peace and security? How can anyone preach prosperity when the walls are down and the devil's come in like this and flaunting his sin right in the face of this nation? How blind can the servants of God be? Tell me this nation's getting better and better. This is a nation under God. It was a nation under God. God did have a wall around it, but God is forsaking this nation. And He's going to turn behind the iron curtain. He's going to find a people there who've never heard the gospel. He's going to provoke us to jealousy. Seven astronauts blown to eternity. Blood and fire and vapors of smoke. Three vapors of smoke. Isn't that what the Bible said going to happen last day? Signs in the heavens, blood and fire and vapors of smoke? Isn't that what happened? How many of you understood that that was a fulfillment of prophecy right before your eyes? Blood and fire and vapors, three vapors of smoke. Every time another one blows up, vapors of smoke. Vapors of smoke. They go up, God said, you stick your foot in my tent. And that's enough. He said, God, David said the heavens were his tent. You stuck your foot in my tent. You said, I'll send to the Most High. I'll send to the heavens. Lord said, you say when I send to heaven, I'll bring you down and humble you. I love my nation. But I can say with Abraham, this is not my place. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Are you ready for the good part? There is a good side to this. How many would like to do a little shouting now? Just about not. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you something good. I really believe in these last days, God is speaking about coming judgment for one purpose. He's talking about idols. He's telling you get rid of them because I'm putting my bride together. I'm getting my body together. The head's appeared to get His body ripe for the coming of Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Those who are going to go with the Lord are going to go with a wall around them. You're not going to go with a wall down. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to be ready when Jesus comes with a wall around you, a high and mighty wall. How many like God to put the wall up tonight? You want to see the wall go up? Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I'm going to shout with you just a minute. All right, go to Isaiah 62. I'm going to give you four verses, and if you're not shouting by the third one, and boy, when I give you the fourth one, if you're not shouting, you're dead. Isaiah, oh, thank God for the good promises of God. God's going to have a people with a wall around them. He's going to be a people walking in covenant, holy before God. Isaiah 62. Folks, mark these down in your Bible. Isaiah 62, go to verse 6. What's it say? On your walls, O Jerusalem, I've appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give Him no rest until He establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. God's good. I'll tell you what, those watchmen are not going to be able to walk those walls unless there's some walls up, is it? God said, I'm going to erect some walls around my people. Now I'm going to raise up watchmen who are never going to shut up. They're not going to shut up. They're going to keep preaching holiness and righteousness until God has a people. Go to Revelation 21, all the way to the end of the book. Revelation 21. How many believe there's a holy city coming down out of God from heaven? How many know that's the people of God that are holy and pure and sanctified? All right. Revelation 21. Verse 10. Verse 9. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke to me saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. He showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone and a stone of crystal clear. And it had what? It had a great high wall. Christian, God says, I want a wall around you. Go back to Isaiah. You're still in Isaiah, aren't you? Isaiah 49. Well, if this doesn't make you shout, if Isaiah 49 doesn't make you shout, I'll go worry about you. Isaiah 49, go to verse 14. Please don't read ahead of me. Stay with me. Wait for me. Isaiah 49. You have it? Now let's get ready to hear the Word of God and say amen and shout a little bit. Because here's a promise right out of the throne room of God. But Zion said, verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord's forgotten me. But can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I'll not forget you. Behold, I've inscribed you in the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your walls are my main purpose. God said, I'm concerned about your walls. Your walls are always on my mind. I want a wall around you. I want a wall around you. All right, now here comes the coup de grace. Here comes the last shaft of the sword. You ready? We're going to find out who's Pentecostal and who's not right now. I'm going to send you to Zechariah. Zechariah 2. Now, if you don't know where it is, go to Malachi and go left one chapter. Go to the last book of the Old Testament, turn left. Just find Zechariah. Don't get ahead of it. Just go to Zechariah. Zechariah, I'm going to wait till everybody can raise their hand and say, I have Zechariah. How many have Zechariah? Everybody got Zechariah? We'll find out who's Pentecostal. I'm not looking for noise. I'm looking for people who tremble the Word of God and they can worship God when they hear a clear sound. You ready? Zechariah 2:5. You read it. You read it. Now I shall be to her, the church, a wall of fire around her and the glory therein. I'll be to my church a wall of fire. The devil can't get over it, under it, around it. No enemy can pursue it. I'm going to build a fire, a wall of fire around my people, and I'm going to be the glory therein. I'm your wall. Jesus is the wall. I got my preaching voice back. Hallelujah. There's a wall around the saints. If you've got sin in your life, I'm not playing games now. I mean it dead serious. I'm talking to Christians, backsliders, and sinners. If you've got sin in your life, you know the wall's down. You know the things that are happening in your life right now. You want God to put that wall up around the sin. Get up out of your seat and come kneel here right now. Say, Jesus, put the wall up around my house. I'm not going to have an invitation or anything, no songs, nothing. Because the Spirit of God's here. The Spirit of God has given His holy, pure Word. And if you've got sin in your life, say, David, there's compromise. And I know the wall's been down. The enemy's trying to destroy me and my home. Get up out of your seat and get down to this altar and say, Jesus, forgive me. Put a wall around my house and my home and my ministry. Come on. Right now, Jesus, I want a wall around my life. The wall's gone down. The wall is down. Let the Holy Ghost bring you out of your seat and get you to this altar and say, Jesus, I'll lay my sin down. I'm going to walk in covenant with God. I repent. I want a wall around my home and my life. Tired of having the enemy chase me. Tired of the enemy trying to destroy me and my home. God, raise up a wall tonight. Raise up a wall around this house. We come against every demon power in hell that would hold back the children of God. We come against principalities and powers of darkness. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. You have no right in this house to hold God's people down anymore. Get to the altar, raise your hand and say, Lord, here I am, forgive me. Raise your hands, you that came to the altar. Lift up your hands and say, Jesus, cleanse me, sanctify me. Come on, look up to Jesus. Lift up your hands. Lift up your heart. Say, Jesus, here, cleanse me, purge me. I confess my sins. I lay down my sins. I lay down my iniquities right now. Lord Jesus, I'll lay my sins down. I'll lay my sins down, Lord. I'll lay my sins down. Jesus, bring repentance to our hearts. We confess openly to You, Jesus, our need. Build a wall around Your people. Build a wall around Your children. Bring back the backslider and the sinner. Audience, I want you to stand and raise your hands. Everybody stand. Let's lift our hands and let's ask God to build a wall around us, our homes and our ministries and our churches. Ask God to build that wall. Stand and ask Him. Raise your hands and confess your sins. Let's all confess our sins to Him. Lord, we confess. We confess our idols. Lay your idols down. Lay your idols down tonight. Lord, we give You our idols. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, let's just bare our hearts before God. Lord, deal with the idols. Let the Lord deal with every idol in your heart now. Are you willing to lay your idols down? Are you able to stand here and say, Jesus, take it, I give it to you. Lay your idol down. Lay all your idols down. Jesus, take my idol. Take my idols. Take it, Jesus, take it. I give it to you, Jesus. Every idol. I want to walk in covenant with you, Jesus. I would like to lead this audience tonight in a prayer of confession before Holy God. Would you just listen as I pray? Would you enter into this as your confession too? We stand in His presence right now, and let's make this genuine from our hearts. He's looking for a pure and honest heart. It's all we've been talking about. Oh, Holy God, Holy God. We stand in Your holy presence. Judge us righteously. God, by Your Spirit, put Your finger on those idols that will not play with You anymore, Lord, will not provoke You anymore. You're coming and saying, now, now, give me Your idols. Set no ungodly thing before Your eyes. Lay down Your idolatry. Lay down all that is of the world. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Lord, corporate, we confess our sins before You. We say, forgive us, Lord, and give us the courage to walk through now to victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Would you look at me for just a moment? Now this that's happening right now is going to be nothing but shallow emotionalism. And I've had enough of that in my lifetime. It's not going to go an inch thick. It won't even find root. Unless you and I, while we're standing here, saying, I will not justify any idol in my life again. I'll not justify it. I'll not try to explain it. And some of you say, well, this will all blow over and I'll still have my idol. I don't care what it is. If you're not willing to lay your idol down, whatever it may be, that secret thing, even that which is accepted, if you're not willing to lay that down, then the shout that comes out of your lips will be hollow. It won't be a clear sound. It won't be a righteous sound. It'll be noise, a tinkling cymbal. Just tinkling cymbals. Empty, hollow. But when you've said, oh Jesus, I don't want to defend. Isn't it a shame that any man or woman of God could stand here tonight and try in his mind to defend an idol? Why would we defend idols? What is so difficult? What is so difficult about saying Jesus? If you want a separated people this last hour of time, I'll be a separated person. He's looking for separated ministers. Let the world go that way. Let them justify their idols. God said, here's a people, I want them to be different. And I'll tell you something. I've watched, now listen to me, I've watched both the Assemblies of God and the Church of God, and the Church of God especially. I preached at Lee College 25 years ago. And I've preached at Church of God conventions 20 years ago. Now I've watched the slow eroding of the morals. I've watched the enemy creep in. I watch him creep in the way we dress. I watch him creep in the way we worship and the death that has fallen over so many of our church services where people are trying to just work up the memory of something they once had. Now I'll tell you why the Church of God used to be such a shouting church, because there was something to shout about. There was holiness in the camp, genuine holiness and righteousness before God. The Assemblies of God and the Church of God are just about like every other denomination, just about now. With sin in the camp. Pastor, what's the difference between you sitting there and watching the filth out of hell and some backslidden liberal preacher? What's the difference? There's none. You say you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all the more reason, because that's more light. All the more reason why you should be separated. God's drawn a line now. God warned me. God warned me that He'd not let me continue with the anointing. He'd not let me continue being a phony. He'd not let me stand and preach holy thunder in the pulpit and go home and live with an idol. He wouldn't let me continue with lust in my heart. He wouldn't let me continue with these things unsettled. He said, David, you're going to settle it. Do you want my glory? Do you want my anointing? Do you want spiritual authority in the pulpit? And that spiritual authority comes from the Word and from a righteous heart. And Pastor, when you get that spiritual authority, it'll be a righteous spiritual authority, and no deacon, no devil in hell can stand against you. Nobody can stand against you, because out of that holy heart comes the holy authority of God's Word.
I was talking to you. Amen. I didn't tell you to do that. Amen. That's his TV out of his camper. Well, folks, like I said in my book, don't tell me if you do it, because God doesn't want anybody to glory in your flesh. You say, Brother Dave, I've never done this before in my life. I have not come down like this on this particular idol. But I'll tell you why. I know it now. God's trying to save a people. He's going to say, hey, look, if I don't have the Church of God left, if I don't have the Church of God left, if I don't have men that can step out of the crowd and say, I'll not touch the filth of this world, I'll not set these things before my eyes. If God doesn't have the Church of God, my Lord, where does He go? Who's left? A third of the Assembly of God preachers laugh at me now. Say, how do you get that figured? According to my letters. About a third of all the Assembly of God pastors write to me, condemn me for preaching this kind of message. But God's coming down here because of love. He's seen how the Church of God and how the Assemblies of God in the past have set a standard for holiness for the whole world to see. It wasn't just legalism. There was some, but folks, there were grandpas and grandmas who said, I'll not touch anything that's touched this world. How are you going to tell your kids not to listen to rock and roll when you've got your own idol? Now I'll tell you, you sit and watch those filthy soaps in Dallas and Dynasty, that's worse, 10 times worse than their rock and roll and their punk. No clapping, please. I'm going to say it one last time. And I say it with a broken heart and with love. Hear it from the Holy Ghost flowing through my heart. Unless we lay down our idols now, the Holy Spirit's going to turn His back in grief. And God will weep over a people who said, I'd rather have my idol than the fullness and anointing of God's Spirit. I want the fullness. Folks, will you right now make a commitment? Right now, Jesus. I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you're not hearing what I'm saying, you're going to go home tonight or tomorrow, and more something's going to happen. God's going to open your eyes. He's going to open your eyes, and you're going to hear God speaking. Every time you turn your idol on, every time you go to your idol, whether it be pornography, whatever it may be, every time you go to exercise your idol,
Every time you go to indulge it, God will speak to you. You'll hear David Wilkerson thundering. You'll hear it. You'll hear it. Oh, you'll hear it. God will speak it so loud and clear. But after a while, God will shut it down and give you over your idol. Say, go to your idol. Go ahead and have it. Enough said. I'm glad he's setting me free. I still got some things he's working on. Boy, do I have some things he's working on yet. But every time he shows me, I tremble and I say, oh God, thank you for showing me. I'll do it. I'll obey you, Lord. You want to do that? Lord, you show me. I'll obey it. Jesus, help us to make a commitment right now as your holy people to stand before you clean hands and pure heart and eyes that are clean. Eyes that are clean. We'll set no evil thing before our eyes. We'll purge our hearts and our garments and walk righteously before you. If you've done that, raise your right hand. Say, Lord, I pledge to walk in righteousness. I pledge to lay my idols down. Raise your right hand and make that pledge to the Lord. Don't do it unless God tells you. But say, Lord, I pledge to lay my idols down and walk in holiness and separation from this world. I'll do it, Lord Jesus. I'm coming back to my holy standards. I'll not have a part of this wicked world in its schemes. All right, you at the altar, how many have believed God's heard your prayer and answered and cleansed you? Raise your hand. Wave your hand at me. I believe God's forgiven and cleansed me and all my idols are gone. Glory to God. All right, then, you've got a right to sing with me this song. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Piano and organ, please. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. And then we're going to sing, Satan had me bound. But Jesus set me free. Those idols had me bound, but Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Are you set free? If you've got a wall around you, you'd better sing it. But if you've got a wall around you, you've got something to sing about. If your idols are down, you've got a wall around you. You're walking in covenant with the Holy God.
Our prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged by this sermon. To download full sermons, go to our website, www.sermonindex.com. You can contact us through the website, and please share a testimony of how this sermon has ministered to you.